Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
In the last program, we began studying into the subject of God's grace and God's law and salvation and how those work together. Now, many people believe that the law of God is done away with, that it is of no effect, and yet Jesus Christ said, "Don't think that I came to do away with the law and with the prophets or the writers of the Old Testament." Now, that's just the opposite of what most people in this world believe and just the opposite of what most people teach. And remember, as we have mentioned before on this program, Isaiah 28 and verse 10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Now, that's how we have to study this subject or any other subject. In order to understand the Bible, you cannot take partial passages, and most people like to take just a small little passage. They'll take just a part of it, take it out of context, and we can't do that. If you do that, you'll never understand what God's Word has to say about this very, very important subject or any other subject. You have to put all of the passages of any particular subject together, and you put precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now, we began last time by looking there at Matthew 5 and verse 17, where Christ said, "Don't think that I came to do away with the law or with the prophets, the writers of the Old Testament." He said, in fact, what he did was he came to fill it to the full or to magnify it and to take the law from just being something that should be kept to the letter of the law and keep it in the spirit. What that means is the obvious spiritual intent, the obvious intent of what God had in mind. And he explains, well, you've heard of old that you shouldn't murder someone. I tell you, even if you have a spirit of murder in your heart, you're guilty. You're guilty of breaking that law. And he went on to say, you've heard that you shouldn't commit adultery with a woman. And he said, well, I tell you, if you even look upon a woman and lust after her, you have already committed adultery with her in your heart. So again, just proving which laws he's talking about not doing away with, and proving that he meant what he said when he said, "I didn't come to do away with it, I came to magnify it." And we are to keep the spirit of the law, the obvious intent behind it. Now, in Ephesians 2, we also went there, Ephesians 2 and verse 8, where it says that we are saved by grace through faith. And then you go on, as verse 10 says, to produce good works. So we're not talking at all about, when we talk about the law of God being in effect, we're not talking about earning salvation. Salvation is a gift from God, and you cannot earn it. And if you missed that program or that particular episode, go back and listen to that, and that'll catch you up to date on where we are right now. But salvation is a free gift from God. Romans 6 and verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. You see, that's what we have earned. We've earned death by sinning, and all of us have sinned. And sin is the breaking of God's law. 1 John 3 and verse 4 says that. That's what we have earned. But God's plan of salvation spares man from eternal death, the consequences of sin, and gives us, as a free gift, eternal life. Eternal life, or salvation, is a gift from God. And that plan of salvation is a process. And of course, it involves repentance. And that means to turn around, to change the direction, change the course that you're on. Stop sinning, stop breaking God's law, and turn around, repent, and change, and start keeping God's law. And then, of course, we go on and we have to be baptized, and then God gives us the gift of His Holy Spirit. And we use that gift of God's Holy Spirit to grow and to become more like God and to learn to think more like God. In Luke 11, in verse 13, it says that God gives us His Holy Spirit. That also is a gift. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, is not a third personage in a Trinity. Now, that's another subject that we'll have to get into in another episode. But the Holy Spirit is, in fact, the power of Almighty God Himself. And He wants to freely give that to us. But once He gives it to us, then He expects us to be submissive, obedient, have an obedient attitude. He wants to see that attitude before He gives it to us. And then He wants to see what we're going to do with it. He wants to see if we will grow, if we will use that power of God to learn to be more like Him, to learn to obey, to learn to think like God and live like God. You see, all of this, you have to understand all of this if you're going to understand the subjects of grace and law and salvation and what God is working out and how God is working it out and what God expects from you. So again, Ephesians 2 says that we're saved by grace, and we're saved by grace through faith, not grace alone, period, close the book, as so many want to say, but we are saved by grace through faith, and we are to go on and produce good works. Now, with that in mind, let's turn to James chapter 2 and see a more complete picture here. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" You see, can we be saved by grace alone, period? Remember in Ephesians 2, it says we're saved by grace through faith. And here he says, well, now, what if a man says he has faith but doesn't have any works to prove that he has faith? You see, all of this has to tie together. Now, verse 17 says, "Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." Well, saved by grace through faith, and yet faith without works, here in James 2 and verse 17, it says, is dead. Verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Now, again, remember Isaiah 28 and verse 10. We have to put precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, to get the full picture of any given subject in the Bible. You can't just take a partial passage out of context. We have to put all the passages together to get the full picture. And here, obviously, works are extremely important to reveal whether or not our faith really is faith at all. Faith without works, it says here in verse 17, is dead. And in verse 18, James says, well, I'll show you my faith by my works. You see, if we are not producing good works, is there really faith? And if there's not faith, is grace going to be given? Grace is a free gift. It is a gift, but it does not have to be given by God. You see, now going on, verse 19, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble," or the demons also believe and tremble. Well, notice that. The demons believe. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus Christ. They know God is there. They know Christ is there. Satan is not an atheist. So our belief has to go far beyond just an intellectual assent to a fact. It has to go far beyond that, you see. Our faith has to go far beyond just something that is a word that is spoken. We have to have works to prove that there really is faith to begin with. And faith without works is dead. And again, James says, well, I'll show you my faith by my works. So the Bible is not contradictory. It says there in Ephesians 2, you're saved by grace through faith to go on and produce good works. And if we're not doing that, if we're not going on and producing good works, is there even any faith at all? I mean, that's the question. And it has to be faith that goes far beyond just the intellectual assent to a fact, like, frankly, the demons have, as verse 19 points out. Verse 20 says, but will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? See you how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God. You see, he believed God. He really believed God. He really had faith, and he proved it by his works. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24 says, you see then that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Again, we're saved by grace. You cannot earn salvation. No amount of works can ever get you saved, but a lack of works can certainly cause you to lose out on salvation, because a lack of works shows that there's really not belief and faith, not the kind that's alive, not the kind that can save. You see, there is a type of faith that is required for salvation, and that faith does produce good works. As verse 24 says, you see then that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Saved by grace through faith, and faith without works is dead. Last time we concluded with an analogy. Let me give you another one right now. Immigration is a hot topic, and has been a hot topic for decades. Now, what if an immigrant wants to come into our country, and they enter the country and they start keeping all of the laws of our country? Does that automatically then cause them to become citizens? Well, of course not. They can't just automatically become citizens because they're keeping our laws. Citizenship is something that has to be given. It has to be granted. So keeping the laws cannot earn citizenship. Conversely, what if that individual refuses to keep the laws of our country, or the laws of any country or any kingdom? Should the rulers of that land give or grant citizenship? Well, that would be foolish. We do have a lot of foolish leaders today, but that's a foolish thing to do. But God is no fool. And when we talk about salvation, we're talking about God offering you the opportunity to enter into his nation, his kingdom, his family. Notice Philippians 4, verse 20 says, for our conversation, now that word that's translated in the King James's conversation, that's really a bad translation. That word in the Greek is polituma, P-O-L-I-T-E-U-M-A, and it's talking about the administration of civil affairs, a constitution, a form of government, and laws, the commonwealth of citizens. It means to be a citizen, or to avail oneself of or recognize the laws of a nation, of a particular kingdom. And this is where we get the word, the modern English word, politics. It comes from this Greek word. And so this is talking about where our citizenship is. It's talking about becoming a citizen. Our citizenship is in heaven. See, that's what salvation really is all about being born into that kingdom, or into that family, that government of God. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on 101.3 KPCG and online kpcg.fm. There's two pieces of literature we'd like to offer to you today, and they'll help you understand today's topic. The first is a free booklet, What is Faith?, written by Herbert W. Armstrong. And the second is the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Millions lack faith to receive answers to their prayers, to free their minds from fears and worries. To a large extent, this is due to the lack of understanding of what faith is. You can read this simple but thorough explanation of the subject in our free booklet, What is Faith? Make sure that you request that. It's at thetrumpet.com. Along with that, sign up for our free Bible correspondence course that will take you step by step through your Bible. What is Faith? It's a free booklet. And our free Bible correspondence course, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible correspondence course. It's all free, and you can get it at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Let's look at Hebrews 11 just to continue on with what we were talking about just before the break. Hebrews 11. Now, this is known as the faith chapter. Now, we're talking about grace and law and salvation and what that means and how all of that works together, how it's all interconnected. And here, we're talking about the faith chapter. Now, remember, we're saved by grace through faith, and faith without works is dead, and we are to go on to produce good works. When you put all of these scriptures together, that's very clear. And salvation really is about God offering you entrance into His kingdom, into His family, into His nation. That's where our citizenship is. As we were talking about just before the break there, reading Philippians 4 and verse 20. So here now is the faith chapter, what we call the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, and it talks about these great individuals of faith, and it talks about the works that they actually accomplished because of faith and through faith. It talks about Noah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, so many of the great individuals of God down through history. Now then, you come down to verse 8, and it begins talking about Abraham and Sarah and their faith, and in particular, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you come down to verse 13, it says, notice this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They did have vision. They understood what this was all leading to and being born into the very family and kingdom of God. They had that vision. They saw it afar off, and they were persuaded of them, persuaded of these promises. They actually believed God and embraced them. They embraced these promises and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They knew that their citizenship was in another country. Their citizenship was in heaven, as Paul wrote in Philippians 4, what we just read. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Now that's referencing New Jerusalem, which Abraham had his sights focused on that. Verse 10 says that as well. But you see, Abraham was focused on another kingdom. Do you think that that kingdom, that family of God, has no laws? Well, when we talk about the law of God, you see how connected that is with salvation? Grace, yes. Grace through faith. Faith without works is dead. And we're talking about salvation and being born into the very kingdom and family of God. And there are laws that govern that kingdom. Did you ever hear of a government or a kingdom or a country or an administration being run without laws? Well, that would be ludicrous. And it's not what your Bible says about God's kingdom either. There are laws that govern that kingdom. And if we're going to be saved, we had better get to know those laws and embrace them. Embrace them as Abraham did, as Isaac did, as Jacob did. Notice Romans 3 in verse 23, for all have sinned. That all includes you, and it includes me. Now remember, Romans 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn because of sin. And you have sinned, and I have sinned. So this is very important to each and every one of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that's a serious problem, but God has a solution. He has a plan. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. Yes, that's a free, unmerited pardon through the redemption. Now, redemption is the price that was paid, and it was a heavy price that was paid to redeem us. We had to be redeemed. We had to be bought back, and we've been bought and paid for. 1 Corinthians 6 says that. We've been bought and paid for with the very blood of Jesus Christ himself. What a heavy price that had to be paid for sin, and what a great gift grace is. What a gift it is, and what a sacrifice God the Father and Jesus Christ went through to make all of this possible. Justified, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now, that propitiation, it means that which expiates or extinguishes the guilt incurred. You see, you're guilty and I'm guilty. We have incurred guilt because of sin. Remember the definition for sin, 1 John 3:4, breaking God's law. You see, breaking God's law is why we are guilty in the first place. It's why the blood of Jesus Christ had to be shed in the first place. And to extinguish that guilt, well, God had to send Jesus Christ, and he was set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the, notice this, what did that shed blood of Christ pay for? For the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We are justified only of past sins. You see, the shed blood of Jesus Christ pays the penalty of past sins. We have remission of past sins, and it is not a license to continue breaking God's law in the future. Now, why do so many religious people teach just the exact opposite of that? Why do so many religious people say that we have this redemption, we have that shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have grace as a free gift from God, so therefore we can go on and live lawlessly. We can go on in the future and break God's law. Now, does that make any sense? What about an immigrant wanting to enter into our nation, and we grant citizenship, and then does that mean that they can go on and just break our laws? Well, that's what we're saying if we say, well, we want to be citizens in the family of God, in the kingdom of God, but we want to just be able to do whatever we want to and break those laws. Now, notice verse 31, God's word makes it very clear. Paul goes on and says, verse 31 of chapter 3, do we then make void the law through faith? You see, how many people say, well, it's all about the cross and living on the other side of the cross. It's not about the law. It's about Jesus Christ, and it's about grace. And what about this statement? Do we then make void the law through faith? Paul answers, God forbid, yea, we establish the law. God forbid, yea, we establish the law. You see, it's not grace or law. It's grace through faith, and faith without works is dead, and we go on to produce good works, and those good works really revolve around the law of God, because the law of God is the way God lives. It's the way he thinks. It's really who he is, as I'll show you going forward here. 1 Corinthians 7, here the Apostle Paul is writing again, and remember, he's writing to a Gentile congregation there in Corinth. The brethren there were primarily Gentiles, 1 Corinthians 7, and there was this controversy over whether they should be circumcised or not. And verse 19, he says, well, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what is important? Well, circumcision, being circumcised or not being circumcised physically is not the issue. You see, that was a type of conversion. That was a type of cutting away the vanity and the pride and the sinful ways of man that we have naturally, the carnal mind, cutting that away and having our minds transformed into thinking differently and thinking like God, learning to think like God. So circumcision or uncircumcision is nothing. And then he says, but the keeping of the commandments of God. See, circumcision's not important. Being circumcised, being not circumcised, that's not the issue. These physical rituals are not the issue. But, he says, teaching God's people decades after Jesus Christ had already died. And here he's speaking largely to Gentiles who had never known anything about the commandments of God. They had never been taught those commandments. And here Paul is teaching them the thing that's important is keeping the commandments of God. Now, you don't hear that taught in the churches in this world today. Why not? We're going to continue studying into this subject, grace, law, and salvation. So until next week, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.